Beetroot juice, used by Olympic athletes for its stamina-boosting effects, caused waves at the last Olympics. Clinical studies proved 2 glasses of beetroot juice per day could increase stamina by 16%. I've been using it, and this product is excellent. Beets are a nutrition goldmine, so call 800-738-2198 or go to intelligentbeets.com. Get a 30-day supply free. That's 800-738-2198 or intelligentbeets.com. Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and each week we endeavor to answer your questions, and this is part two of our weekly Q&A session with Hoffman Center nutritionist Layla Mutin at my side. And what's our next question, Layla?
Our next question comes from Nora. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. My 49-year-old nephew...
No, read the first part.
Oh, hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. Oh, I love your radio show. The chemistry between you two is the best.
There you go. No, I didn't want you to omit that one part, because that's very complimentary.
Yeah.
And I kind of consider ourselves like the nutrition equivalent of Howard Stern and Robin Quivers.
Mm.
You know, it's like they have a repartee. And, and actually one of the listeners, I didn't think we read this one on the air, I read an email the other day saying, I like the way that Layla keeps you in line.
I read that.
Yeah.
I read that.
Okay, so that's it's like I need like a check on my exuberance.
Exuberance is good.
Yeah, exuberance is good. All right.
All right. Nora writes, my 49-year-old nephew has been diagnosed with stage 3 melanoma. Could you please recommend some supplements that would be helpful? He's currently being treated. They're thinking of putting him on immune-boosting drugs, something called mm-hmm. Keytruda.
Yeah. Well, okay, so I got to say that I am not going to tell you that there's a nutritional protocol for melanoma.
Yeah.
Nor is it my habit to answer detailed questions about serious cancer with an offhanded list of supplements on this podcast. That being said, you know, I think your melanoma is very serious. It does not respond. It responds abysmally to conventional treatment mm-hmm. with radiation and chemotherapy. However, there's some new immunotherapies that seem to be able to check it, maybe activate the body's own immune system to fight it, and so we're seeing better survivals with melanoma. I think we're in an era where maybe within the next decade we will actually have some more reliable and effective therapies.
Yeah. You know what comes to mind? Remember, one of our lectures that we do is vitamin D.
Yes.
That was actually a
big
one.
I was going to say.
And one of the things that really occurs to me is that one of the points that we make during that lecture is, first of all, vitamin D levels have to be optimal. Optimal meaning anywhere between 55 and 85 would be Mecca. Okay. The other thing is 4 out of 5 melanomas have less to do with sun exposure and more to do with diet.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess a pro-inflammatory diet or any diet that would feed a cancer, too much omega-6 fats possibly.
Right. No, this is notwithstanding the effects of a healthy diet and proper supplementation might be beneficial, and especially vitamin D, because studies do show that individuals who have low levels of vitamin D have a much more rapid progression mm-hmm. of melanoma. Mm-hmm. And while vitamin D is not magic to make melanoma go away, you know, it might be beneficial. There might be some advantage to intravenous vitamin C as an adjunctive therapy because vitamin C seems to work against most cancers at mm-hmm. high doses, not oral doses.
Right.
And
you couldn't take 25 grams of vitamin C.
Well, actually, you could, but it wouldn't even be absorbed. It would just come out as diarrhea. You know?
Oh, totally. Turn your insides out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the body has a limited capacity to absorb it orally, and intravenously mm-hmm. you bypass mm-hmm. these limits, and you can saturate the tissues in vitamin C, which seems to have an anti-cancer effect. So that might be a helpful adjunct to their therapy, but I wouldn't disregard some of the things the oncologist is recommending, because while these therapies are in their infancy, they're beginning to show promise even with melanoma, which
That's
used to
terrific.
Be the worst, once it's metastatic, just almost uniformly fatal. Mm. Now we're seeing some certainly slowing the progression and possibly curing some cases of melanoma mm-hmm. with these new treatments.
Oh, wow. Nora, thank you for your question.
And your nice comment.
Yeah, and your nice comment. And best of luck to your nephew. Okay.
And evidently young.
Yeah,
I mean, your nephew is
49. Our next question comes from Charlie. My blood pressure spikes in the doctor's office, and he wants me to take a medication. But if I were your patient, Dr. Hoffman, what would be your approach? My doctor says I'm sort of unique as my BP swings up and down.
Right. So this is called labile blood pressure, which is means it swings. And that's often the most difficult type of high blood pressure to treat nutritionally, because it suggests a nervous system that's out of kilter, that sometimes it's normal and sometimes there's maybe a rush of adrenaline or cortisol that it produces hypertension. So I would focus on exercise. I would focus on relaxation.
I would focus on getting off all manner of caffeine or any stimulants.
Yeah, sure.
For starters, just to see if that can, if you're online at Starbucks 3 or 4 times a day, that's not a good thing for your blood pressure. Unless it's all decaf, that's fine.
And I don't know if this individual is overweight. Did they state that?
No. Okay, because
with this type of blood pressure, you can be very skinny and still have high blood pressure.
That's a little scary.
Yeah. This is more, it puts the hyper in hypertension, as in tension and stress. And so most individuals who are heavy, if they lose, like the statistics, if they lose 5% of their body weight, which in an individual who weighs, say 240 pounds, what would that be? That would be like,
12 pounds?
12 pounds, right.
Yeah.
12 pounds.
That can help.
That actually often dramatically reduces or eliminates the need for blood pressure medication.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even a modest weight loss, not even to optimal weight.
Yeah.
Charlie,
losing weight if you are overweight, number one, but really number one, let me back up, is getting off all manner of stimulants, caffeine, anything, just make all of that go away. Switch to decaf. It's even in your soda. If you're a drinker of Mountain Dew or orange soda, there's caffeine in there. You want to be careful where your caffeine sources are. Chocolate, even dark chocolate, yes, it's good for us, but there's some caffeine in there. That might be exacerbating your blood pressure. That, weight loss, and some supplements we like, magnesium taurate, we like olive leaf, we like arginine or citrulline, super beets may be helpful.
To dilate blood vessels, sure.
But bottom line, if your blood pressure is not going to be controlled that well, you need medication. We don't want you to have a stroke.
Right.
That's most important.
And that's an important message to come home, because a lot of people say, well, I want to treat my blood pressure naturally. And I say, fine. Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's got to be, we give you a grace period of, 3 months, six months.
For lifestyle
and then
measures.
At which point we have to face the facts. Mm-hmm. Either your lifestyle efforts are not stringent enough, because some people can't exercise adequately or stick to a diet stringently enough, or alternatively, you're past the point of no return with your blood pressure, because I really think that there is an aspect of high blood pressure, which is a little bit like when you need reading glasses, you get a stiffening of your lens of your eye. And it's irrevocable. I don't propose to give people vitamins or have them exercise their way out of nearsightedness. It's an age-related thing. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, hypertension is, you reach a point of no return, either in your kidney physiology or your blood vessel, your endothelial wall, responsiveness or flexibility, or else you get stuck in nervous system patterns of stress reactions, which is sometimes tough to reverse. It's really hard to transform your whole personality sometimes.
Right. Don't be type A, possibly.
Don't be type A. Or be type A about not being type A.
Oh, gosh.
Be type A about meditation and relaxation.
Charlie, thank you for your question, and best of luck to you. All right. This comes from John. Hi, Layla and Dr. Hoffman. I fell and apparently broke the neck of my femur, although it was not recognized right away.
Oof.
When it was, they also saw some avascular necrosis.
Oof.
I have been very active prior to the fall, but since the fall, I've been told to avoid high-impact exercise.
Sure.
Is there a complementary nutritional approach to AVN? What about Chinese herbs? I'd like to avoid surgery.
Yeah, here's the thing. I broke my hip, too, but I was... The first thing I asked, I said, show me the x-ray. And even though in my morphine sedated state, I wanted to see the x-ray because I wanted to see where it was, because my concern wasn't so much that I'd broken. I mean, I was majorly upset that I broke my leg, but I was also concerned where it was. And it's very key where it is. if it is too close to what is called the neck, which is the narrowing between the ball of the ball joint
and the actual thigh bone
and the femur, which is the leg bone, if it's in that neck, there's a lot of blood vessels there. And those blood vessels get damaged. And then avascular means lack of blood vessels. And you get necrosis, which is cell death and deterioration of that joint. And now already that's a weak point in the hip.
Yeah.
And when there's a break and then there's poor circulation, that becomes an area that is a prime candidate for fracture.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get such bad avascular necrosis that you have a spontaneous fracture. You know, you just put your foot down on the ground and snap. Because it's a progressive thing. As the circulation is impaired, the tissue deteriorates, and there's necrosis. Necrosis is cell death. And so I looked at the X-ray, and I said, well, good. It's a broken, it's very clearly broken, but it's broken far away from the neck.
Mm-hmm.
And that means a better healing potential. But you're looking at...
I'm looking at the rod... titanium rod that was...
Let's create a little sound picture for you. There's a metal object in a frame on my wall, and it looks like a piece of modern art. It's a big hunk of metal.
It's pretty cool.
And that was what was in my leg. I just kind of framed it and put it on my wall. And it looks, you know, like part of the modern art that we have in our office, but it was in me for 14 months. Anyway, so I had that piece taken out. So the point is, this is kind of a Humpty Dumpty problem, is that so once the blood vessels die and the circulation is impaired and the bone deteriorates to that extent, it's hard to reverse. And I wish there was a supplement that could help. I mean, there may be some things that in the early phases of a fracture when administered will mitigate the damage. You know, things like...
Or at least help the bone remit.
Well, all the things that we, you know, higher doses of vitamin D and calcium and...
Ostanol.
Which I'm planning to do an interview on that subject. Ostanol is a bone morphogenic protein, which is... they're really going to make an effort to get the word out about ostanol. I think it's going to be an exciting new supplement this year or next for osteoporosis. But it's also a great thing to give at the time of a fracture.
Yeah.
And it might be something that could... offset this problem, but it's purely a matter of the location of the fracture. If the fracture occurs in the wrong place, you're almost doomed to require not a rod like I had, but an actual hip replacement. That was my concern, as I did not want, as a consequence of this, to have a hip replacement. I knew I needed an operation to put a rod in to stabilize that, but I didn't want an artificial hip at the relatively young age of, I think I was 53.
Yeah.
This was actually 9 years ago now.
It seems like
yesterday, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh,
because you went through that, yeah.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Now, this brings to mind. It was last week. A patient of ours called who we haven't seen in several months. I'd say a good half a year, and she called saying, you know, 6 weeks ago I fractured my foot, and doctor looked at it again. In 6 weeks, it didn't really heal that well. And is there something I can do? And I told her about Ostanol, and she basically said, oh, my goodness, I should have called 6 weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
I said, yeah, that would have, you know.
Well, it's not too late, you know.
And we kind of, exactly, so to see if that makes a difference for her.
Right.
That would be good.
And by the way, Ostanol is, I think they retail it, but we have a good source of a very pure Ostanol.
Mm-hmm.
It's made by a company called Zycal, Z-Y-C-A-L, and it's available via drhoffman.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we like to use it for osteoporosis, osteoarthritis, and for bone healing.
I remember when my mother fell and broke her hip, she was just sweeping the front porch and landed very hard. And and that's something, you know, after they pinned it together and
she had that surgery. But she didn't need a hip replacement?
She did not.
Okay.
She did not, but they had to watch for AVN for a while, and then she was out of the woods. And all is good, wood.
Yes, good.
So, yeah. Now she has bionic vision because she just had her... of the cataract replace.
Something to look forward to.
Thank you for your question, John. Okay. We have a question from Manny. He wants to know, is creatine safe? And if so, what level? How many milligrams? Are there any side effects? Thank you for your response. Creatine can be safe, provided you use it properly. It's normally used by exercisers, bodybuilders, for quick bursts of energy. Creatine turns to ATP, which is our energy currency, and it's very, very helpful. A typical dosage for athletic performance maybe about 4 grams or so. Now, there has been a study in somebody taking 10 grams where they had severe rhabdomyolysis as well as some kidney failure.
Really? They might have been very dehydrated or something like that. I don't think it's that dangerous.
Yeah.
But generally, bodybuilders will take a teaspoon 3 times a day, and then maybe for maintenance, just a teaspoon a day. And it's one of those controversial things that may help strength training, weightlifting.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it helps you go longer distance. I've tried it for cycling and so on. I'm not sure if it makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
It's also thought to be helpful for the brain. Is that some studies show that it's helpful in dementia. And one of the things, that the knocks on it, is that it's thought to maybe expand the muscles, make the muscles look bigger, but it can... Baseball players are sometimes discouraged from using it because they slide a lot and they, dive a lot, and they're prone to sprains and strains, and it's thought that it might make the muscles more stiff and less flexible and more likely to be susceptible to sprains and strains, I've
heard. Wow. That's interesting. All right, so the things to precautions are side effects of creatine. I got this off the website. It's an EDU website.
I'll tell you one precaution is that
Maryland.
If you take creatine and you do a standard blood test, it will give you an artificially elevated creatinine, making the doctor scared that you're suffering from kidney failure when it's actually just, creatine and creatinine are very closely related. So if you take a lot of creatinine, your creatine will register higher on the blood test, suggesting that you have impending renal failure when actually you don't.
Yeah. And high doses of it can cause diarrhea. So that's
something. I imagine,
As high doses of anything can give you that kind of... okay. Thank you, Manny, for your question. Let's see here. We have a question from Carol. Dear Dr. Hoffman, I'm a 53-year-old female who was diagnosed with ocular rosacea by my ophthalmologist about 5 years ago.
So her eyes are very red.
Yeah. My eye doctor said there's no cure for this chronic condition, but he can only help me manage symptoms, instructed me to wash my eyelids with mild soap, but he also prescribed 6 months of doxycycline.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it does clear up after that dose,
sure.
but then it will return after 3 to 6 months, and my ophthalmologist keeps giving me another script for doxy.
Right.
Is this okay?
Well, the interesting thing about doxycycline is it's both an antibiotic and it's a little bit of an anti-inflammatory. So it helps in certain conditions like periodontal disease, certain forms of acne, and rosacea. And, is it safe to take long-term? I guess the concern is that you'll build up antibiotic resistance and then, you'll be in trouble when you really need something.
And really mess with your microbiome.
And it can mess with your microbiome. But, who knows, maybe it messes with it in a favorable way to get rid of bad things that contribute to the rosacea. We like to work with rosacea by getting patients on a low-sugar diet, by identifying food allergies, using probiotics, because I think there is a gut connection.
Sure, sure. The anti-rosacea diet, at least for skin, is a candida diet, pretty much.
We also want to avoid supplements that have a vasodilating effect, like even garlic, but niacin.
Yeah.
For people who have rosacea of the skin, this reddening and flushing due to certain supplements can make things worse. High spicy foods may not be that great, and so on.
Yeah. Best of luck to you, Carol. All right. We have a question from Judy. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. The doctors recommend a tetanus shot every 10 years. Is that really necessary?
Well, it's... the way that most people get tetanus shots is not on a regular basis. It's not like, you take your car in for whatever, the 15,000-mile checkup.
Yeah.
And you get the oil changed, spark plugs changed, and so on. It's possible that a dose of the tetanus vaccine can last for a lifetime, but it's thought that you may need boosters to make sure that that's still the case.
Yeah.
Tetanus is a terrible disease, and very few people die of it now. And I bet there's a lot of people who just got one tetanus shot and, the DPT, diphtheria pertussis tetanus, when they were young, and they didn't get any subsequently. What it generally happens is if you cut yourself on a rusty nail, you end up in an emergency room and there's a dirty cut, they'll give you a tetanus shot.
Yeah.
Because they just want to make sure that, if the cut's bad enough, you develop tetanus, you can die. Mm. And people used to routinely die of tetanus, and it's a horrible death. It's just, you end up in tetany or spasm, and literally, you can lay a person between two chairs, and their body will be in spasm in an arc between the two chairs.
Oh,
it's such a profound spasm. And a spasm, ultimately, of the tongue and the breathing apparatus suffocates people. So it's just a devastating
thing. I would get my tetanus shot.
Right. Here's the problem, though. The tetanus shot is notorious for giving people reactions. And it's based on horse serum. And people develop what's called serum sickness, which is a malaise or a very painful swollen arm, mm-hmm. or sometimes more serious side effects from it. And it's a dose of mercury because it's preserved in thimerosal. So
yeah.
This is, I don't know about getting routine tetanus shots. I can't remember the last time I had one. I think maybe the last time I had any kind of injury. And I'm not particularly concerned about my risk of getting tetanus.
I had to get one at the beginning of my internship.
Okay.
And that and Hep B and...
Mm. Well, I'm not sure really
why. I'm not sure why, but yeah.
I can understand if you were an apprentice carpenter or something, you might step on a rusty nail, but how many rusty nails are there in hospital? I mean, do they think a patient was going to bite you and give you tetanus or something?
I think what happened was when they asked me when was your last tetanus shot, I didn't remember, so they gave me one. I think that's what happened.
Anything to give you a shot?
Yeah, I suppose.
All right, so if we have a quick question, we can squeeze it in. Is there such a thing?
No.
Everything's
actually
like an essay
no.
Question.
Yeah,
okay.
These are pretty.
So let's do this. Let's tide over those lengthy questions for next week.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've fulfilled our obligation very nicely to answer as many questions as we can on this week's edition of Intelligent Medicine. Remember, you can send your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. And I might say that these podcasts are free, and we're very happy to deliver them. It's a labor of love, but these podcasts require. Some time and expense for production. And one of the ways that you can ensure that we continue with this great information, which is free, is by patronizing the Hoffman Center Dispensary at drhoffman.com and shop there frequently, purchase your products there, and that will ensure a great deal of longevity for both you and for the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Also keep in mind that when you come to the Hoffman Center, usually you see me and Layla Mutin, our nutritionist, in tandem, but one route that you can use to utilize the services of the Hoffman Center is to work directly with Layla. It's a more economical pathway also that enables people who don't physically come into the office to get a consultation because she does do phone consultations,
mm-hmm.
and she has clients all over the United States and Canada, and not yet... Do you have any international candidate?
Not yet. Well, okay. Canada would be international.
Canada is...
but it's still North America.
Still
okay.
North America. Right. So if you're, if you are listening to us in Zimbabwe, if you can, Skype or... Actually, we don't do Skype because, it's funny because Skype is not considered a medically secure way of transmitting information.
Yeah, but so many practitioners are using Skype.
Yeah, it's a mistake. I mean, there's a liability associated with it because mm-hmm. medical, and it disappoints some of our patients that they can't see us.
Yeah.
But there are some secure sites mm-hmm. that we may investigate in the future that mm-hmm. have been certified HIPAA compliant, mm-hmm. which is the laws of privacy. But to this date, we're confined to written and phone communication.
Yeah. Well, the future is telemedicine, so we'll see how
indeed.
All that goes.
Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.